Ladies and gentlemen, sorry for having kept you waiting. I'm going to hand over to Louis Morago, who is in charge of Oxfam here, to introduce the campaign. Then Colin Firth is going to speak and hand over the petition to Commissioner Mandelson, and he will speak. We'll take two or three questions at the very end.
Thank you, Peter. Just 30 seconds or less, on behalf of Oxfam International, to thank Mr. Mandelson, the Commissioner, and of course Colin Firth to join us today in this little big event, which is part of Oxfam's campaign Make Trade Fair. And specifically, we are doing today an act related to the petition we call Big Noise. And without further ado, please, Colin.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So what is the actor doing here? That's probably the first and last question anyone really is interested in as regards myself. Well, people in my position tend to get invited to this sort of thing. There are millions of people who are infinitely more qualified and able to deal with these issues than I. If you want to know who they are, there are about 10 million of them with their names on the petition that I've brought here. That number is growing very, very rapidly, and it's really only a tiny, tiny proportion of the real number of people who are passionately echoing the sentiments that are expressed there. About 80% of those names are actually from developing countries. It's not just those of us who are well-meaning in the north. It's largely from the farmers themselves. So I'm just basically here as a name on that petition, and as a European citizen, and as a consumer with a consumer's complicity in the poverty problem. Poverty is not natural law. It's a result of choices that have been made by individuals at events such as the ministerial, which is about to come up. And I think the signatories to this petition cannot believe that the brilliant minds who will be attending that ministerial, with all their resourcefulness and ambition, cannot find some way of unlocking those talks. And we also cannot believe that our own well-being and prosperity depends on the misery and destitution of others, or on the prizing open of markets in countries that barely, well, who do not qualify as market economies at all, and while we deny access to our own markets, or that it depends on dumping the huge surpluses of over-subsidized produce on their economies and their struggling farmers, or that a European cow should literally be valued more highly than an African farmer. It is simply intolerable. And I have a kind of fanciful dream, I suppose, that the Ethiopian farmers that I met this year will wake up, look at the results of the Hong Kong ministerial and say, you know what, they did it. They've cut us a break. They've actually let us in this time. And so those are the voices that I would like to give to Mr. Mandelson to take to the table so that he can basically counter the voices of corporate opportunism, political inertia that so often dominate those events. So the Big Noise petition, Mr. Mandelson, take it, and more power to your elbow. Thank you.
Side two.
Yeah. Multiple audiences.
That's right. It's the bilingual. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, Colin, thank you very much indeed for taking the trouble to come here to present this petition and to add your voice when. Your voice speaks literally for millions of others, and it's good of you to use your voice on their behalf. I too know that I have the interests of millions of people to represent at Hong Kong in the World Trade Talks, and I shall do so with, to the best of my ability, obviously, but with a genuine sense of commitment, which I've had all my political and adult life to meeting the needs of people who are poor, people who are struggling, people who want a better chance in this world, in which we all have a responsibility to make sure that the development that we seek, the growth that we want, is properly balanced and provides that balance of opportunities for people to make their way, to earn their living, to have the chance to trade, to export their goods, so that they can then in turn grow their economies and raise the living standards that they seek for themselves and for their own families. And we can do it. There's no fundamental bar, there's no reason in principle, there's no obstacle that we cannot overcome to get to the end of these very important trade talks to create the opportunities, genuine and sustainable opportunities that we seek. As ever, as a member of the European Commission, I'm striking a balance between different viewpoints and different interests within the European Union. That's my job. I have 25 member states. I'm not a 26th member state myself. I'm simply a commissioner who is trying to knit together the interests, the views, to weld those together into a single policy. And we've done that on trade, but I'm also seeking to strike a balance between the interests of different developing countries. You know, sometimes I have quite a challenge on my hands explaining to people, you know, why it isn't simple just to sort of pull levers and press buttons in these trade talks and suddenly produce, you know, the perfect solution, you know, for all developing countries. Well, the truth is that there are some developing countries who are very competitive and who would benefit from liberalization of the economy. For example, in agriculture, there are some very competitive developing countries who are very large-scale agricultural exporters who want as much liberalization in agriculture as we can get. But then there are other developing countries who depend on a smaller agricultural trade who want less liberalization. They want more protection because they're less competitive. And the same is true in industrial goods or services. Some want more liberalization, some want less. And it's finding the right balance between these different interests, which is such a challenge in these trade talks. But as I said, with commitment, with intelligence, an ability to talk in a reasonable, rational, adult way, there's no fundamental reason why we should not find, at the end of the day, the best way forward that meets the interests of the greatest number of people and countries in whose name and in whose cause we launch this trade round, which is to put trade at the service of development. So I'm very pleased to receive this. I'm grateful to those millions of people in Europe who have spoken up, who are flexing their muscles on behalf of progress to find a solution. All I'd say to you is please keep raising your voices, keep giving us your support, keep pushing us forwards, and keep showing that you are impatient and that you will not be tolerant of any outcome that is less than satisfactory for genuinely needy and poor people in developing countries in this world. Please keep raising your voices. Please keep speaking out. Thank you very much.
A question for both of the speakers, please. For Mr. Firth, you said you were here as a citizen and a consumer. Can you tell us what role and how important the voice of the European citizens and consumers can be and should be in this process? And for Mr. Mandelson, can you think of any other governments and places where you would like Oxfam to present this petition in order to help you get the interests of development countries understood in the round.
Which country did you have in mind? Colin, you can answer both questions.
No, the role of the citizen is paramount, because basically I think the people who are the main players at these talks are simply representatives. They are, well, they can't really do anything except under license. These laws and regulations and rules are decided by permission. They're not. They're not possible in a democracy, really, without public consent or without some sort of public engagement with the issues. And this is why I think each citizen probably is a political being, just by nature of the fact they live in a democracy and has a duty to make their feelings known, which is precisely what the petition is about. I think it's the least of our responsibilities, really, when something is this critical, to weigh in. To weigh in on this issue.
Look, perhaps I can answer your question in this way. I mean, what I say to all the 25 member states of the European Union is that, as the Trade Commissioner, of course, I will represent faithfully the interests of Europe. But our interests in Europe lie in the successful and ambitious conclusion of this round. And if we are going to do that, then we have to be seen to be delivering for developing countries. If we're not doing that, then we won't reap the benefits, not just in trade, but in the creation of a more balanced world. Which offers not just economic opportunities for us, but stability and safety and security that comes from everyone having the chance to better themselves. That's where European interests lie as well. So yes, I will pursue our interests. I will remain faithful to the negotiating objectives that the member states have given me. But please send me into those talks with the ability to be flexible, don't tie my hands, and then I can do the best for everyone.
Okay.
Heidi Newsom, thank you, Mr. Mendelson, for explaining everything so nicely about the trade talks. May I ask you another question? Do you know Colin as an actor, and do you like his films, and which films have you seen? I would appreciate if you could answer these questions.
Name them. Name all of them.
You know, that sort of British comedy genre, that modern British comedy genre, which Colin personifies, in which he has acted so well and cheered me up and brought a smile to my face so often. That's what I thank him for. Heaven knows where Bridget Jones is actually hiding. She's probably one of those names. She's everywhere, actually, as Colin.
Next question.
Okay.
Final
question here.
It's a question for Mr. Fath. You talked about being a consumer and being sort of complicit. What can the everyday consumer do? I mean, your voice will be heard. But how can the sort of everyday consumer make their voice heard in this sort of campaign?
It's difficult. There are no simple strategies for the consumer. This is something I've found, you know, I found out how iniquitous the coffee industry was, and I decided then let's boycott the big coffee roasters. And then they say, no, you can't boycott the big coffee roasters because there's someone at the end of that trade chain who's going to suffer from that as well. What I advise people to do is take advantage of the fact that there is all the information available incredibly easily now in a way that it never was before. There are websites everywhere. There are NGOs and organizations that you can find out about. I think that as soon as you do that and you encounter somebody who knows a little bit more than you, doors open all over the place. Be aware of what you are consuming. Find out who made it. Find out what is at the other end of the trade chain. The information is actually available. For that kind of awareness. We've begun to do it in terms of our own health and whether things are organic or whether, you know, what actually goes into the ingredients of what we're eating. I think the same thing should be investigated as to the source of our produce. Also, you can go to places. I mean, you can get on a flight and arrive in Addis Ababa in, you know, by dinner time, you know, and you can, there's really very little stopping you from doing it. I know the danger levels of these places tend to go up and down, but there, you can get out of your own little sort of box of unawareness very, very easily. And I think it can be, you know, can something that can actually turn your life around to do that.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you.